Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Boy, I tell ya, we got a lot to get into today. We got a lot going on. I don't want to say give myself credit, but I feel like I picked the exact right times to go on vacation this summer, because as soon as I'm back, I mean, we are fully loaded with football, and the Olympics are going on, and more football. And I want to start with this. So the Titans held what every team in the NFL has. It's called Welcome Back Together Weekend, or some bullcrap like that the NFL comes up with. Back Together Weekend. And so NFL Network and ESPN all day Saturday run a show about how the league is back with practice, even though we don't play any games for a while, and we certainly don't play any meaningful games for 6 weeks. But we're back together for football. And the Titans, in the celebrating back together for football spirit, decided to have a practice on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. I did not go to the practice, full disclosure, quite frankly, because I just, with the former president of the United States in town, I just did not feel like what traffic was going to be like downtown. And I was like, I'm not sitting in the car to watch them practice with no pads on. But enough people did go. And the big takeaway was that the offensive line still stinks. Again, I didn't see it, but I did see that Kaharski put in his write-up at paulkaharski.com, put that Shane Ray, a pass rusher the Titans signed last week who has not played football in 6 years, would have recorded 2 sacks against the starting offensive line in 1 period of practice. Oh, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. And I am worried about the offensive line. And a lot of people, I saw this on Twitter Saturday, somebody said, can we just put the pads on before we start to get worried about the offensive line? And let me just say this. No, no, no. Because that's what we did last year. Well, it's only been 3 days of practice. They've got plenty of time to figure it out. Or they haven't put the pads on yet, and the pads help the offensive line in pass sets to keep the guys from the quarterback. The offensive line needs time to gel. This blah, 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 blah. I heard the same thing last year. Now, let me say this. I have infinitely more trust in the head coach, Brian Callahan, of finding a way to adapt to a bad offensive line than I did under the previous coach, Mike Vrabel. I think it's pretty obvious Mike Vrabel had no clue when it came to the offensive line, just based off of his offensive line coaching hires. Which also, as we're talking about infinite trust, I mean, when it comes to the trust I have for Brian Callahan compared to Mike Vrabel of getting it figured out, the trust I have between the Bozos coaching the offensive line last year and Bill Callahan is more than that. It's hard to be more than infinity, but that's where I'll put myself. Ian, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I thought about giving you a heads up before I did this, but I think it's more fun this way.
Okay.
Do you remember the story? Because I feel like I've told this pretty regularly. Of my feelings after the third day of practice, 2023.
Is that when you called your dad?
That is when I called my dad.
Okay.
Tell the people the story.
Well, I think you left one training camp practice and you called your dad and said, this O-line is going to be terrible.
They hadn't put the pads on. They hadn't had a snap of live action where they could hit the quarterback. They didn't have time to gel. They didn't, all the excuses. And I could tell after the third day. I could tell. It reminds me of 2021. The Titans had let go of Dennis Kelly at right tackle. They had signed Kendall Lamb. They had drafted Dylan Raidens. And the two were going to compete at right tackle. And I watched Ola Adeniyi, basically a backup pass rusher and special teamer, who wasn't even that good, just zoom off the edge by both guys over and over and over and over again. And I turned to Joe Rexroad at that 2021 practice, and I said, these guys suck. And he said, they haven't even put the pads on. a week later, both guys were off of right tackle, and David Questenberry was in. Bad is bad, folks. On July 29th of 2023, 1 year ago today, at 11:44 a.m., I texted my best friend's dad. And remember, I am a Titans fan, so the way I talk on the air as an analyst, yeah, I'm a fan. Might be a little different than I talk off the air. I said, at 11:44 a.m., they haven't put the pads on yet, but our offensive line is horrible. It was horrible. I knew after 3 days last year. So here's what I don't do. And again, Bill Callahan is different than Jason Hoteling. And hopefully that makes a difference this year. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to do the, oh, let's ignore reality because I don't want to hear it. Because I think there's probably 95% of the fans out there that do want to hear Bill Callahan will get it fixed, or do want to hear they haven't even put the pads on. 2 years ago, we went out there to training camp, and I'm like, this is Aaron Brewer. He looks like a little baby out there. And I told you guys Dylan Raiden stunk. They haven't even put the pads on, Jared. Right. And by the time they did, it was too late to fix it, just like last year. Last year, you guys, they hadn't put the pads on yet. I think it was Vrabel told Gentry Estes, because I was complaining and we were talking, and Gentry asked Vrabel about, you know, does it take longer for the offensive line to kind of get together and get going? And Vrabel, well, in my experience, it does. It takes time. We haven't even put the pads on. We haven't. Yeah, Jared, we haven't put the pads on. And then they kicked off. And when they kicked off in September, and you had to watch that line in October and November and December, you knew what I saw the third day of practice last year. All offseason long, we agreed that the offensive line was the number one priority. And I'll give them credit. They signed the top center on the market, and they used the seventh overall pick on a tackle, albeit, unfortunately, and this isn't their fault, not the tackle that we all wanted, but they did use it on a tackle. The left guard was horrible last year, but he deserves a second chance given all of the forgottenness around him with the two guys that stunk and the bad coach and everything else. But nothing on the right side. And I kept saying, they don't have a right tackle. Look at all the improvements we've made, Jared. This team's going to be awesome. They don't have a right tackle. And at first it was, well, it's only March. It's only March, Jared. Jared, they haven't even had the draft yet. Jared, other guys will get cut on June 1st. Jared, they haven't put the pads on. It's always a moving target to make an excuse for the fact that they don't have a right tackle. And once again, I've done that before. Last year, it was an unmitigated disaster. We knew in training camp Andre Dillard sucked. I remember Ben Arthur asking Vrabel about Andre Dillard. And Vrabel saying, well, he's the first one in here in the morning. He's working hard in the classroom. Yeah. And look, it's not apples to apples to last year because Bill Callahan is coaching the offensive line. And it's not apples to apples either, I would assume, with Brian Callahan coaching, because I do think that Brian Callahan probably has a way to mitigate, you know, the offensive line disasters that maybe the last coaching staff singling up Andre Dillard with Myles Garrett with 5 seconds left to go in the first half at Cleveland, probably for some reason, in spite of their high salaries, we're not aware of. But again, if we've learned anything over the last 2 years, it's that there is no way to overcome a bad offensive line. Joe Burrow could do it. But the Titans don't have Joe Burrow, and the Titans can't get Joe Burrow. Other than that, there's no way to overcome a bad offensive line. Once again, the highlight for me, it wasn't the fact that Tavondre Sweat would have had a sack. It wasn't the fact that I heard this guy was in the backfield. I saw people on Twitter saying, oh, the line, it wasn't. It was the note Kaharski made that Shane Ray, a guy who has not played football in 6 years, would have had 2 sacks. That's not a good sign. Bill Callahan is a great offensive line coach, maybe the best in the history of the NFL. I don't know. But the narrative is the exact same. The reality is the exact same 3 days into camp that it was last year. And last year, we tolerated some of the excuses. Why would I do the same thing again? I'll say it once, and I've said it many times in the past, and I'm going to say it one more time. They don't have a right tackle. And what they don't have a right tackle means is you can't win without a right tackle. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number. That's what we're starting off today. The offensive line has been, by all accounts, horrible through 3 days of practice. 615-737-1025. Then there was the one thing that I think everybody convinced themselves of. No data suggesting at any point you should have felt good about this. And yet people convinced themselves of it. And now, I think it might be a problem. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I think we got to be better. We got to be firmer in protection. It's obviously hard without pads on. You know, we're not really anchoring on guys. But I think we just got to execute better. I thought we missed a couple throws that we could have had. I know Will had a touchdown on a deep ball, and the ball slipped out of his hand. So that one wasn't any fun, but we had a shot. But yeah, it was good. A lot of things. We're 4 days in. We got plenty of stuff to work on, and that's why we're practicing.
That was Brian Callahan after the practice at Nissan Stadium. Ian, did you hear what he said right there?
Yeah, it's still early.
We haven't put the pads on yet. I mean, we haven't put the pads on. That's what I was told last year. I was told last year we had not put the pads on. So because we didn't put the pads on, Andre Dillard's crappiness was just a product of not wearing pads. And then Andre Dillard put the pads on, and he still sucked. So there's one thing that really bothers me about what's gone on so far this season. And again, I'm not ruling out the fact that there is a chance that Bill Callahan will save all of this. I think there's a possibility. But I have told the right tackle story about 1,000 times. Quite frankly, I think I may have to do it again. Because, again, we're 3 days into training camp. And the right tackle that everybody told me I had to believe in, Nicholas Petitfrère, a.k.a.?
PT.
PT has not been on the field yet. And I keep going back to the start of the offseason. We all went into the offseason knowing that the Titans needed two starting tackles. Not one, two. Not one starting tackle, and let's fudge it at the other tackle, which I assumed was always going to happen. I thought that was going to happen when Vrabel was still the coach, and we were talking about the next offseason. But, I never sat there and said that's a good idea. They needed two starting tackles. Brian Callahan's team that he came from, Cincinnati, went out and signed Trent Brown, a starting tackle, and drafted Amarius Mims. They also already had Orlando Brown Jr. They got three tackles. You got one who you drafted at 7. And I kept saying it. And then we looked at free agency, and there wasn't really a lot there. And then Brian Callahan went on the midday show at the combine, and he said, I really, really like the traits that I've seen out of PT and Jalen Duncan. And I thought, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. And then Brian Callahan said that Dylan Raiden was going to play guard, even though over the last 2 years, the last six games or whatever it was of last season, Dylan Raiden at right tackle is the best right tackle the Titans have had. Brian Callahan says Dylan Raiden's going to play guard. And I thought, oh, no, 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 no. But again, it's Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan's the guru. I understand. I got it. But they did not at all do anything at right tackle. And the more they didn't do anything at right tackle, didn't draft a right tackle, didn't sign a right tackle, kept adding, Scarbinis like Leroy Watson, but I mean, I'm talking like a real tackle. The more they did that, the more you guys got stronger in your belief that PT could do it. You guys got on my ass about PT. You know, I hear Joe Rexroth every time he talks about this. He claims that PT was good as a rookie. He was not good as a rookie. In fact, his rookie year was disappointing. And I said at the time, I go, you know what? I understand that maybe he had a bad rookie year, but they don't practice as much in the NFL. So I'm expecting a big jump in his second year. And if not, then he stinks. And then he got suspended for gambling. So he couldn't play the first six games or whatever it was last year. I think they ended up reducing it. But then he got hurt because TJ Watt's too fast off the edge at right tackle. And he was terrible when he did play last year for the 66 pass snaps or whatever it was. So you guys are like, no, he was good as a rookie. He was not. You guys are, oh, Bill Callahan, you'll see, you'll see. And then PT didn't participate in OTAs. And you guys, oh, who cares? It's OTAs. Well, now he's on the PUP list. And Jalen Duncan, the other guy that Brian Callahan at the Combine was saying they felt good about, he's already been passed up by John Ajuku, a second-year undrafted free agent who's played 66 snaps in his NFL career, and that might be your starting right tackle. This team does not have a right tackle. Ian, do I need to tell the story?
Please, no.
I mean, I'm sorry. The story has to be told, because if you don't ever listen, and I'm not saying you, Ian.
You've already told the story to everybody who needs to hear it in the organization.
And so you're going to say they're just never going to listen to that.
Well, I mean, I don't know about never, but I think they're trying their best.
There's a one general manager in the history of the Tennessee Titans, not the Titans Oilers, because Mike Halivak's on that wall too. But there is a one general manager who was GM of the Titans, whose name is on the wall in the facility. When you go buy season tickets at Titan House, there is a giant gold record with his name on it, with the franchise record for wins as a GM. And the one time I asked him, I said, they're going to be any good in 2015, and he just looked at me and said, we don't have a right tackle. And from that moment on, I knew, oh, you better have a right tackle if you want to be good in the NFL. Better have a right tackle. Thought maybe you could fudge right tackle up into that point. You cannot fudge right tackle. And yet, Nicholas Petit-Frere hadn't practiced yet. Bill Callahan today said he's going to be out there on Friday, hopefully. Okay. And then it'll be something else. Right, it was the gambling, then it was the arm, now it's the knee, then it'll be the toenail, then it'll be the Gatorade's not the right flavors, and you got to sit out that yet that week too. It's the same thing. You can't rely on this guy. You don't have a right tackle. And so, again, I know they have not played a single snap of real football and will not play a single snap for 6 weeks. And there are going to be a lot of people out there that for the next 6 weeks will talk themselves into the fact that they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. It's early, Jared. Jared, it's only March. Why are you worried about right tackle in March? Oh, Jared, they haven't even had the draft yet. Oh, Jared, there are other guys after the draft they can go out and sign. Oh, Jared, June 1st will come. There'll be tons of guys that'll be cut. They go sign somebody there. Oh, Jared, they haven't even put the pads on yet. I know. We went through all this last year. We went through this last year. I mean, like, I went through this. I've experienced this. And so I think what's happened, and I don't know, you know, because Bill Callahan's been very, the three times he's talked, it's been very monotone, matter of fact. I don't think he's blowing smoke, but it's almost like I don't think Bill Callahan realizes how unreliable Nicholas Petit-Frere actually is. And so while he says, oh, you know, we'll hope to get him back on Friday, I'm looking at this thinking to myself, yeah, and then it'll be something else. That'll be something else. I mean, it's only been a year and a half, and it's always something. So, I mean, again, I don't want to tell this story. I don't want to tell the right tackle story. But the crux of it is, if you don't have a right tackle, you can't win. And for the last 3 years, whether the general manager was John Robinson Whether the head coach was Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan, it doesn't matter. This organization has tried to skimp at right tackle. And all I can say, and all I said then, and all I'll say now, they don't have a right tackle. And if you don't have a right tackle, you're probably not going to win. And if you're banking on PT to show up and get off his ass and play some right tackle, I mean, you keep waiting. I mean, I believe in relying on guys that are reliable. I guess we'll see on Friday if they can get this right tackle that they claim is a legitimate starting right tackle that I don't have any real evidence to that makes me believe that can actually play right tackle. 615-737-1025. Speaking of Bill Callahan, a.k.a. Ian.
Big coach.
Bill Callahan spoke today about the offensive line. We'll get to that coming up next, what he had to say, and your phones. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I thought Saturday's practice in the stadium was really good for that atmosphere. It was very game-like for the players. They got a sense of, you know, the crowd communicating and noise, you know, being on their own away from, you know, not having coaches behind them. So that was real beneficial.
That was Bill Callahan today saying, I'll tell you, I think that the noise in the stadium was very beneficial Saturday to what this offensive line's going to have to get used to. I mean, it looked like there might have been like 2,000 fans in the crowd. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, when you go to Chicago on week one and every seat is sold for the coronation of what is supposed to be the first Bear quarterback to ever be worth a crap in 30 years, it's going to be a little bit louder, if I had to guess. But Bill Callahan was asked about Nicholas Petit-Frere today. This is audio comes from Paul Kaharsky. Here is what Bill Callahan, a.k.a.
PT.
Now that's Petit-Frere. This is what he had to say.
Oh, big coach.
Bill Callahan, big coach. This is what he had to say about Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was hoping he would be back. I think we're going to push his rehab back a little bit to Friday. Hopefully we can get him back and then accelerate from there. You know, back in Cleveland, I had a number of tackles that, you know, started the year on PUP. So it's that situation where it's a fine line. He's getting all the classroom walkthrough type work, but he needs to get on the field and practice, which he'll get to. You know, I'm not concerned about that. More importantly, it's getting him back into a groove where he can communicate and get into his pass sets and get that timing down.
Do you consider him at the head of the line at right tackle?
I don't know. In all honesty and fairness to everybody, I've reserved all my comments on the evaluation process until we've seen him in pads, seen him, you know, obviously in a preseason game, so and interact with him on the bench and see them make adjustments and see how they handle, you know, the pressure of game day.
Bill, I've seen him. He stinks. And the problem with why you haven't seen him is because his availability is probably his weakest asset as an NFL player. To me, you don't get a pass for not being able to get out there because of the gambling suspension. That's a bad thing. But he's like, I'm not concerned. We were already hoping to have him back, but maybe we'll see Friday. Does he go to the front of the line? I don't know. That undrafted free agent, John Ojukwu, is out there. And, I mean, you know, he's got 66 career snaps. And so, maybe he won't win it. Oh, my God. Again, don't make me tell that right tackle story again. Phone lines are by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Alden in Nashville's mad, Ian.
What happened?
Alden says, we'll get most tired of Jared bitching about right tackle and telling the same Floyd story 1,000 times. That came at 7:09 a.m. from Alden. And then followed it up with, see my previous text, tuning off 102.5 for the day now. Jared says the same thing over and over. That comes from Alden. Alden, you know, I wouldn't have to ever tell the right tackle story if the Titans went out and got a right tackle. You know, I understand that I'm not in control of the Titans. I get that. I don't ever claim to be in control of the Titans. In fact, I think sometimes the Titans do the opposite of what I say because they hear me say it and think, oh, if Jared thinks it, then the opposite must be true. But at the same time, I wouldn't need to tell the story if the Titans went out and got a right tackle. You know, there's also another Floyd story that sticks out in my head that I don't tell very often when it comes to the Titans. And it's a story of years ago. Remember Washington had Kirk Cousins on those two franchise tags, and they didn't really like Kirk Cousins? And the whole rumor was Kyle Shanahan, who had just taken over the 49ers, was obsessed with Kirk Cousins. And so coming out of the combine, Mike Silver, who is good buddies with Kyle Shanahan and at the time Jay Gruden, Mike Silver came out and said, I'm hearing there's some chatter that Washington and San Francisco might be working on a deal. In fact, Shanahan didn't do any homework on the quarterbacks in that draft class, which ended up being Mahomes, because he just thought they were going to sign Kirk Cousins at the end of the year. And so there was this rumor that Washington and San Francisco were going to work out a deal for Kirk Cousins. And this was after the draft, or at least after the free, you know, the combine, whatever. And I remember one of our suits over there at the station, Jeff Kolb, asked Floyd what he thought about it. Floyd just goes, "Well, who's Washington's quarterback going to be?" I was like, "Well, maybe they." And that's the end of it. I.e., they may not like Kirk Cousins, but you got to have a quarterback, so they're not going to just trade away their quarterback and not have a who's their quarterback. You can't not have a quarterback. But I don't tell that story very often. And the reason I don't tell that story very often is because over the last 5 years, 6 years, the Titans have had a quarterback. Mariota was a starting quarterback when he was the quarterback. Tannehill was a quarterback when he was the quarterback. Levis right now, he is the starting quarterback. So when it comes to telling the right tackles, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. Be mad. Be mad at the Titans for not getting a right tackle. Kinston says, you've told the right tackle story 1,000 times, but failed to mention the Titans didn't have a right tackle in 2021 en route to a number one seed in the playoffs. That is true. And 2021, I think, was a really, really bad experiment for John Robinson. You see, what happens oftentimes, blackjack, I always talk about that. I'm a big blackjack player. You know, there's a certain way to play the game. If the dealer has a bust card showing, a 6 or a 5, and you've got an 11, you double down. Because statistically, it gives you the best chance for success. Well, I mean, there is the chance where you don't double down on 11, and you just hit it, and you get a 4, and the dealer has a 5 underneath, and then drops a 10, and now she's got 21. It happens. It sucks when it does, but it happens. Which means that every good decision may not yield a positive result, but if you make more good decisions over time, you will ultimately yield the positive outcomes. That's why even the best general managers bust on picks, because nobody's right all the time. But in 2020, Dennis Kelly, to me, while he wasn't really a true starter like LaJuan or Conklin or Ben Jones or Lloyd Cushenberry, I mean, Dennis Kelly was good enough to start. And so I don't have a problem with Dennis Kelly at right tackle. In 2021, they went into the year with Kendall Lamb thinking he could start, he couldn't. With Dylan Radins, who they drafted in the second round, thinking maybe he could start, he couldn't. And then they quickly had to shift to Ty Sambrylo and David Questenberry, and it ultimately ended up being Questenberry. And Questenberry was good enough to get by. He was the fifth guy on an offensive line. Now, he did start the year before at left tackle in place of LaJuan, and I thought did pretty well. In fact, the Titans had the option to bring Questenberry back on a right of first refusal, RFA tender. It would have cost him $2 million. They didn't. He went into free agency after that year. But I think at that point in time, John Robinson, and maybe to a lesser extent Mike Vrabel, felt empowered that they could just wing it on the line. Like, we'll figure it out. We'll get rid of a Pro Bowl left guard, Roger Saffold, replace him with a 270-pound Aaron Brewer, and we'll be fine. We're smart enough to figure that out. And all it took was for one injury, and it was the knee to LaJuan, in which Dennis Daly had to go in, and all of a sudden, your season's down the tubes. So, yeah, they got by for one season. They got by with a fringe-ish guy at right tackle when they had four other good players. They got by. And I think that empowered them to be stupid. And the result of that has basically been every single person involved losing their job. So, yeah, they got by with Quessenberry, and I think that that, again, empowered them to, oh, we could just put Aaron Brewer out there. It'll be fine. And now everybody's lost their jobs. Jason in Dover says, what is your solution and your suggestion on fixing right tackle? Get a time machine, go back to March, and take the $8 million you gave to Tony Pollard and give that to Jermaine Illuminor and put him at right tackle. That's my suggestion. Go back to March and call up the Ravens when they're looking to offload Morgan Moses and his 16 starts a year at right tackle and swap spots in the fourth round. It might cost you Cedric Gray. It might not. By the way, for all the people that thought Cedric Gray was going to come out right away and start and wear the green dot, doesn't look like that's going to happen, which I told you when they drafted him. You cannot bank on starting the 106th pick in the draft. You can bank on starting the 38th pick. You cannot bank on starting the 106th pick. If the guy becomes the linebacker version of Puka Nacua, great. But chances are he's probably not. But that's, again, you want me to fix it? Go back to March. So every time when I am sitting there telling you, like, I can't believe that this is happening. What's going on here? I mean, what are they doing to right tackle? You're like, oh, Jared, it's only March. It's only March, Jared. Right. And that's when you have something you can do about it. That's why this new Giants Hard Knocks, this new Giants Hard Knocks they had where it was kind of the offseason Hard Knocks, as opposed to what's going to happen with the Bears, which I am going to pay attention to because the Bears are playing the Titans that first week of the year. But that's just your traditional Hard Knocks. It's about the players, the coaches, you know, the team, what they eat in the cafeteria, Ocho Cinco, you know, child please, things like that. The Giants one was where they're literally sitting in the meeting rooms and they're talking about, do we want this guy at $10 million? Do we want this guy at $4 million? You know, what do you, hey, Shane Bowen, what do you think about Brian Burns if we add him? And of course, Shane Bowen is such a dope. He's like, you know, he's got a big fat dip in his mouth. I'm like, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, and that freaking bozo was my D coordinator, and Vrabel was like, no, just trust me on this, I think I'd have had a hard time with that. But that's when those decisions are made. Like, that's when you can fix problems. This time last year, Andre Dillard couldn't play a lick, and they couldn't fix it. It's too late. So when you ask me what my solution is, it's to go get a time machine. Good luck, but I mean, it is what it is. Michael from Missouri says the right tackle story is not working. I agree that the right tackle is a problem, but if you're trying to convince the team, try something else. It's been every day for 2 years. Please come up with a different angle. What am I supposed to do? The day the coach got hired, I sat down with him. I'm like, you need a right tackle. The thing I don't understand why Bill Callahan, and I know what Trevor said about it, you know, about Dylan Raiden's feet and about how he's not quick enough, in his opinion, to be a tackle in the NFL. I do not understand the decision right away to come in and just say Raiden's is going to play guard. Because last year, for the last 6 weeks, we talked about Quessenberry and fudging it and getting by. I think Raiden's got by last year at the end at right tackle, which is better than they've had for the last 2 years. And then immediately they come in and they're like, no, we're taking him off. We're moving him to guard. Again, Bill Callahan's a guru. He would know better than me, but oh my goodness.
Were there just too many holes on the offensive line to fill in one season?
No.
Is that possible?
I just told you, if you're going to use a third round draft pick on a running back, that running back better start.
That was last year, right?
Right. So they used a third round pick on a running back. And
they used a third-round pick on PT, and he didn't pan out either.
Right, but the difference is that this running back doesn't look like he sucks. Like, this running back, they were willing to trade Derrick Henry, allegedly, until ownership said no, allegedly, which, again, I don't even know what to believe on this, because I have heard some stuff that makes it sound like Rand might be telling the truth. But at the same time, I don't know. But, again, if they were willing to trade Henry or... When you draft a running back in the third round, I mean, that guy better start because it's running back. Right tackle is a premium position. Running back is not. And so I look at Illuminor, who went for like $7 million to the Giants, and I'm like, take the $8 million you gave your second running back and give it to the right tackle. Because you can get an undrafted free agent to play running back, and it won't be the end of the world. We saw that when Derrick Henry went down and Deontay Foreman came in and ran the ball. But you can't get by with Scarbini's at right tackle, and you know that. One texter says, we have new coaches and coordinators and a lot of new players. What you're really expecting for the first week of training camp? And I've been reading everything else about camp, and you're the only one freaking out. I know, and I was the only one freaking out last year when Andre Dillard couldn't get a stop in the first week of training camp. And what they told me was, no, just wait till they put the pads on. So what are they telling me now? Oh, no, just wait till they put the pads on. Well, if I had a concern last year, and the excuse for validating the concern was they haven't put the pads on, and I accepted it, and then the offensive line was as bad as it was last year, and then it's the exact same problem, and the excuse is the exact same excuse, wouldn't I be an idiot to sit there and say, oh, okay, it's okay, I haven't put the pads on? Like, wouldn't I be a moron for that? Woo! 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One texter says, I agree with your take on right tackle, but fast forward to the season, if they got Jermaine Illuminor and he sucked, you'd be really mad. I mean, I can't tell you what I would think about something that hasn't happened yet. And again, Illuminor gave up like 4 sacks last year. I can live with 4 sacks. Coming up next, a lot of people have texted in saying, Jared, what do you think about the Danico Autry suspension? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You said it feels kind of the same, even though Danico's not here anymore. What is kind of filling that void from a production standpoint? How do you go about filling somebody that provided as much as he did over the years?
It started yesterday. I mean, our job is to not focus on guys who we lost, but the guys who we got this year. And one thing about this league is prove and reprove. Every year, you can prove who you are, but at the end of the day, you got to reprove it. And that's the mentality I'm taking. I'm into the season, and the guys who we got this year, even with the new addition, I always say, you know, them guys got to prove that they can rush the passer and affect the game like we had in the past with Danico. But at the end of the day, we don't have Danico no more. We got new faces, and, I mean, quite frankly, we got a lot of guys from last year that rush inside, even guys like Arden who had inside rushes, but – you know, I got full confidence in the guys we have right now. I'm not speaking on them no more the past. Like I said, I'm focused on the guys we have in the building. And the biggest thing is, like I said, my job is to continue to help the guys around me improve. And I improve every day I come on the field. So
that was Jeffrey Simmons last week. If you listen to the show a lot, and most of the text line does because you're all mad about me complaining about the offensive line. But if you listen to the show a lot, you know. Outside of right tackle, one of my biggest concerns, Danico Autry's 11.5 sacks just walked out the building during free agency and went to the Houston Texans. And today, a bomb was dropped that Danico Autry has been suspended for 6 games for violating the performance-enhancing drug policy in the NFL. Ian, did you see Danico Autry's lengthy statement and or explanation?
I saw he put it out there, yeah.
By the way, do you believe players whenever they come out with an explanation for why they got caught cheating?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know how many athletes would knowingly do that at this point. You know?
So do you think when Taylor Lewan was all like, I didn't take PEDs and I took my supplements to the lab and had them tested and I didn't do it. Do you think that that was the truth, or do you think the truth was Lewan was trying to get an edge? He took a little juicy juice and next thing you know, it's not 100% juice for 100% kids and he's out for 6 games.
Probably the second.
Okay. So I genuinely do not believe the players. Like, and I'm sure there are some players out there that get duped. I'm sure there are some players that are working out somewhere with one other guy, and he's like, yeah, dude, hey, take this protein powder. And I'm sure it's more than protein powder that's in, you know, it's probably not a protein powder. It's probably more something else. But, you know, take this right here. But no, I do not believe that Barry Bonds thought that the cream and the clear were for acne. I do not think that Roger Clemens thought he was getting shot with B12 in his buttocks. I don't believe it. I talked about it with Nick Swisher when he came on the show last week, the former World Series champion. I said, the reason why we're cool with David Ortiz and Andy Pettit is because they put their hands up and said, yeah, I did it. So DiNico's lengthy statement basically is that his doctor screwed up. According to this, I immediately investigated the matter and discovered that a pharmacy to which my doctor submitted a prescription for a different medication had, whether intentionally, recklessly, or negligently, included a banned substance. I want to be clear, at no time did I know or even suspect that this medication contained a banned substance. The league has basically decided that regardless of what your excuse is, you're responsible for what's in your body or what's not. I have a little bit of sympathy because it's like, I mean, have you ever gone to the hospital? They say, hey, take this, and then you take it, and maybe, you know, you're not allowed to play sports now because you did that. I don't know. I'm not sure I totally believe Autry. Autry did come off of a major injury in 2022. He was in a contract year in 2023. Even as he ages, he seems to be a model of consistency. You know what helps you get better as you get older? The juice. Which makes me wonder something. I've been very critical of the Titans front office. And I don't think that big picture this really matters. I mean, DiNico Autry's still going to play and he's still going to sack the quarterback after the first six games. But I wonder if the Titans knew something that maybe the Texans and the rest of the league didn't. When you're around somebody every day, they're in your building, you know the good and the bad. Very rarely are teams surprised by actions of guys that they've been around for 4 or 5 years. In the case of Autry, it was 3 years. Now, I'm not in that building every day. I'm not on that team, so I couldn't tell you. But there are signs of guys that juice. I've seen it myself. So I do wonder if the Titans, when it came to re-signing DiNico Autry, saw the 11.5 sacks and thought to themselves, well, eventually this is going to be a problem. I'm not saying they know. I'm not saying DiNico lied. I'm just saying I don't believe DiNico because I don't believe any player. When they come out and say, I did not knowingly take this banned substance. Some of these dudes are cheating. Now, I'm sure it's happened to some of them where they didn't know that they were taking something or they were too stupid to get it checked or whatever. But in the case of most players, I just have to assume that you're cheating. Because every excuse has been the same since we started for testing back in 2004 or whatever it is, which is, I did not know that cough syrup contained that which I was not allowed to do. So, again, my one take on this is I don't think it really affects football that much. I mean, I still think that while the Texans won't have DiNico for the first six games, and I don't know what their first six games look like, they'll have him when it really matters. Like, they'll have him in, he'll be fine in November and December and January, and if they get to February, you know, he'll be fine. But I do wonder if this is a reason why he's not back. Now, the money to me was the reason why that, you know, hey, $11 million a year, good for you. But I'm not sure that I could pay that. And that frustrated me that the Titans didn't extend him. But if the Titans knew in their heads, like, hey, man, this guy, he knows the syringe all too well. If that's the case, then you got to make a decision. And maybe that is why the Titans decided to move on. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Will Levis got a girlfriend. Ian, did you see that?
I saw a little bit of the scuttlebutt on Twitter.
So I have one opinion, and it will be my prevailing opinion throughout. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.